It's a pleasure to be with you this morning in worship. I have known your pastor for 20 years. So if you have anything that you want to know about him that you don't know yet, you might ask me because I've got some secrets. Not secrets. Mark pretty much is an open book, so not a big deal. Anyway, Mark and I first started out in Independence together. He was the pastor at Blue Ridge Christian, and I was the pastor at Eastgate Christian. Disciples of Christ congregations less than 5 miles apart. I don't know who was planning that when they created that, but so Mark and I had the pleasure of serving in the same community for 10 years together, and we've been playing volleyball for about 20. So we've had a good time together, and Mark is a great guy, so when he asked me to come out of my hibernation as a pastor to fill in for him, I couldn't help but say yes. But I'm blessed to be here, and I'm glad to be here, and it's good to be in worship with you this morning. Before we get started here this morning, I have a practice of just trying to take a moment before hearing the word, before hearing a message, that we just get in the right space and the right mindset for that, to receive that. So before I pray, I would just invite you all to remember the words of scripture this morning. Hopefully you didn't fall asleep because those were short scriptures. Take a moment, try to remember those words of those scriptures. Let them wrap themselves around your heart or your brain. Kind of think about them for a minute, and let's take a few moments just to be silent. We all are living busy lives, and we don't have enough silence. So let's just take a moment, be silent, and before we get started today. Open our hearts, our minds, and our ears, O God, to the message it is you need us to receive. And I pray, O God, that you speak through me, that I speak the message you need me to. Amen. I usually walk around, but I had a microphone malfunction this morning, so I thought maybe here would be a safer place. So I have come from a very, very small family. So how many of y'all come from smaller families? Yeah, okay, well, a few. And some of you have real big families, I'm assuming? Mediocre-sized families? Okay. Well, to give you an idea, it is me, my daughter, my mom, my dad, my nephew, sometimes my sister, and sometimes my uncle. That's it. That is all of the family that I have. So when Thanksgiving or Christmas rolls around, there's not a lot of drama that goes on because there's only 7 people, right? You get those families that have 30 or 40, and there's bound to be a fight breakout. 7 people in the family. Sometimes my uncle, he lives in Chicago, and he's a real questionable person anyway. We never know when he's going to pop in and out. He just is a hermit for the most part, right? So if Uncle Johnny shows up, that's 7. If he doesn't, that's 6. If my sister shows up, that's 6. But if she doesn't, that's 5, because she's also a wild card. And I mean that in a very loving, kind of loving way. Just to share information about her. She is mentally ill. She's bipolar, and she has borderline personality disorder. So we never quite know from year to year if she's going to be present with us or if she's going to be somewhere else doing something else. So it's kind of one of those things. And usually my nephew is there, her son. And that's it. My dad and my dad's an only child, and my mom only has one brother that never married. I have no cousins, no aunts. I know that seems like I've been deprived my whole life, but I don't know. So family gatherings are really interesting because they're so small and there's so little of us. But then also there are so many of us in my family that are broken people, my sister being one of them. I love my sister, but I have been dealing with her mental illness since I was 10 years old. So for, you know, I'm not going to tell you my age, but for a while, I've been trying to handle and deal with some of the things that come with that. Well, this year has been a little different. Normally, and we still are doing that, but normally my mom and my dad and me and my daughter, we all go to Branson during Thanksgiving. We go to Dixie Stampede on Thanksgiving Day. We do all the Christmassy, cheesy, Jesus-y, American-y stuff that they provide in Branson, and we just lean into it and have a good time, which we're still going to do. But this is the first year, and probably, I want to say about 15 years, that my sister is actually in a stable place. She's worked really hard this year. She's gone from an abusive relationship to and being in the hospital from that to breaking out of that abusive relationship to going to therapists to being on her meds to being present with the family every time we get together and being able to hold a conversation where you don't feel like we're jumping off the edge of a cliff. This is the first year in 15 years that I actually have felt like I have my sister. And my mom and my dad, and we know that that doesn't last forever, but for now, for this year, we want to settle in. So yesterday, my mom thought, I'm going to have to make a Thanksgiving feast this year. So we got together yesterday, all six of us, because my uncle was in Chicago, and, well, seven, because my sister's boyfriend was there, and every year it's always somebody different at the table with her if she comes, right? So this year, this is a good guy that she's dating, and so we were so happy to have him at the table. Not that we wouldn't be if he was a bad guy. That sounds horrible. But anyway, my mom said, we have got to do this because we don't know if your sister's going to be here next year or if what's going to happen next year. And I think this is the year that we do it. Now, my mom has passed off dinners to me a long time ago because she's 73 and she's done. But this time she was like, I'm doing it myself. And I was like, Mom, do you need me to bring anything? Right? I can make anything you need me to make. You know, let's take some of the work off of you. I'm happy to bring, even if it's just rolls, I'm happy to bring the rolls. Whatever you need, Mom, I've got it. And she's like, no, I want to do the whole thing. And I'm like, okay, fine, you do the whole thing. We'll see what happens. So yesterday, all of us sat down around the table, my little family. We've got the stuffing, and we've got the mashed potatoes, and we've got the rolls, and we've got the turkey, and we've got the green bean casserole, and we got the sweet potatoes, and we got the olives and the garnishes that go on the side that nobody eats because they want to eat the mashed potatoes. We've got all of the things. Table is full. Looks like we're about to feed 50 people. There's so much food on here. Now, I must tell you this because one of my favorite things over the years about Thanksgiving dinner is the homemade noodles that my mom makes. Now, she rolls out the dough, makes sure they're thin enough so they don't turn into dumplings when she boils them, right? So it's a process. That's a three-day process. You got to dry them out, then you got to freeze them. It's a whole deal. But I'm like, yes. Noodles. I'm excited. That's the one thing where I'm like, I cannot wait to have my mom's homemade noodles this year. Like, I'm so excited about it. We sit down a whole table full of food and I'm ready to dig in. I'm looking around for the noodles and guess what she forgot? The noodles. She did not make this. She just plumb forgot that that's part of Thanksgiving dinner. And I'm like, where are the noodles? It's the one thing I was so excited to have was my mom's homemade noodles. Yeah, I love the stuffing and I love the turkey and all that, but the noodles are where it's at, man. So I'm like, what happened? Where? And I'm trying not to say anything because I don't want to make her feel bad. Like, I don't know if it was intentional or not intentional. But then my sister, of course, pops up and says, Mom, where's the noodles? And Mom's like, I forgot. I forgot we had noodles. Now, here's the deal. I miss the noodles. But I started to wonder to myself, why in the world wasn't the stuffing and the mashed potatoes and the rolls and the green bean casserole and the turkey and everything else enough? Why did I notice the one thing that was missing from the table? On the time when we were celebrating what we should be grateful for. I mean, my mama should have just plopped down a pot of ham and beans. And we should have been happy. And we should have been okay. Because my whole family, including my wayward sister, was around the table celebrating one another, celebrating life, and celebrating our love. And it didn't matter if the noodles were there or not. And yeah, I'm kicking myself now because I should have just brought noodles and it wouldn't have been a big deal, right? But it then made me think to myself, what kind of world do I live in where I only see the thing that's not there instead of all of the things that are there and that are present and that are a part of the table and a part of our lives and a part of our existence? Do you know that when you scroll Facebook, how many of you are Facebookers? There's got to be more than, there's just two of you? I mean, really, okay. Let's get out our phones and let me check for you. But if you scroll Facebook in a month, do you know how many ads you will see? 11,500 ads while you scroll Facebook in a month. And let me tell you something. Let's think about this because I don't know about y'all, but I watch a lot of TV and probably not great TV. I'm the worst. But if you think about the ads that are on Facebook or the ads that are on TV or the ads that you see when you're, you know, scrolling through Insta or whatever, all of those ads are giving you one single message. And that message is that you are not enough and that you do not have enough, and that there are noodles missing from your table. Our advertisements tell us what? To look younger, right? About the newest face cream or Botox treatment or whatever else we need to take in order to make ourselves look presentable, because apparently looking older is a horrible thing in the world, which I'm like ready to lean into it, you know? They tell us to what? Lose weight. Right? I mean, there are so many ads out there to tell us to lose weight or that we need a MyPillow. I'm sure if you have one, I'm sure they're great, but you need a MyPillow or you need a certain kind of mattress or you need a certain kind of bed or you need a certain kind of car or you need a different kind of chair or you need a different kind of house or you need a different kind of realtor or you need a different kind of table. All of these messages telling us that what we have on our tables now are not enough. Not only that, not just what we have, but who we are is not enough. That I'm not good enough. And there comes a point in time as a child of God, as somebody who was created and made and called good by God, there comes a time in our lives where we have to look in the mirror and we have to notice that we are a creation of God and that God put our DNA together and our chromosomes in a certain way and fashioned us in God's image. And when we look in the mirror and we say, ooh, I hate this gray hair right here. Or when we look in the mirror and say, what's wrong with this wrinkle? Or why do I have this extra roll over here? When we look in the mirror and we see that instead of the good that we are and the beauty that God created us, then we are telling God, sorry, your art pieces aren't beautiful enough for us. It's like saying, God, where are the noodles? I want to be more. I want to have more. This is not enough for me. We live in a land of abundance, incredible abundance, and God created it and called it good and said, y'all need to take care of this. This is your land, and I'm giving it to you to play in, to have fun in, to work in, to create in. Don't tell God it's not enough. God knew exactly what God was doing when God got started with all of this. When God breathes life into you every single day, God is giving you enough and saying, you are my child, I love you. Please look in the mirror and say, thank you. Please look in the mirror and say, this is my address, this is my home. God gave me this to live in. And it is enough, far more than enough, because God is an abundant, amazing, beautiful creator of this life. When Paul is talking here in the book of Colossians, Paul is saying, everything you do should be out of gratitude and in the name of Jesus. Everything you do, do it because you are grateful. We are looking at the world with eyes that say the world isn't enough. There's not enough of this. I don't work hard enough. I don't earn enough money. I need a bigger house. I need a bigger car. I need something more in my life. It's not that we need anything more in life. All that we need is here already. It's what we honor and what we are worshiping first. And what we are seeing with our eyes, and who we are seeing with our eyes, and if we are letting Christ rule our hearts so that we can look at the world the way that God sees it, with beauty and adoration, and that we are God's children. I have a child, she's 11, she gets on my nerves all the time, I'm not gonna lie, she's a tween. And man, that is a hard age, tweens. Anybody agree? Right? I mean, it is one of those things where she is like kind of a kid and then not a kid. And then I have no idea what to get her for Christmas because she has no idea what she wants because she has no idea who she is. She's 11 years old and she's very lost in the world and constantly trying to figure out, who am I? What am I doing? What do I like? What do I don't like? Where am I going now? Here are my friends today. They're probably not going to be my friends tomorrow. That they're going to be my friends probably the next day. And I love my child so much, but she does get on my nerves. But you know what? I would never look at her and say that she is not beautiful and wonderful and created to be exactly who she is in that moment. And if we won't do that to our children, God does not do that to us, and we should not do it to ourselves. You are enough. God made you enough. And this Thanksgiving, no matter how many people you have around the table or whether or not the noodles are there, I pray to God that they are there for you this year. But even if they're not, may you look at the table of abundance in front of you, of love and grace and joy and peace, and may you give our Creator the thanks and the praise, and may you look in the mirror and say, God, I am enough, and I thank you for that. Amen. Amen.